Hey there, friends. Welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we examine the book of 1 Thessalonians and learn about turning the world upside down. Let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's conversation in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. I'm here with Jeremy Pinero, and we've just been enjoying talking about the Bible. I was thinking, Jeremy, as we were recording some sessions here a while ago, about just having this conversation recorded. These are the conversations we have unrecorded.
They are, and they're great.
To me, a good friend is one that you get beyond the weather talk, you get beyond the sports team talk. You get beyond the superficialities, and you end up talking about important eternal things. And Jeremy, you've been that friend to me over the years, and I appreciate you taking the time to talk through this chapter with our listeners. We're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. If you're joining us today, we're in verse, well, you are joining us today, or you wouldn't be listening, but we're in verse 10, where the Bible says, "Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe." I love how the Apostle Paul calls himself into accountability. He says, I couldn't fool you if I wanted to. Ye are witnesses. You were there when we showed up with the gospel message. You saw the way we behaved day after day. And by the way, so did God. We do everything in the sight of God. So you know the kind of behavior that we exhibited. And then he describes, Jeremy, that behavior. He says, we behaved in a holy way, right? Holily. We behaved in a just way. So holiness in the Bible refers to one's closeness to God, his set apartness to God. Just in the Bible, justly refers to the way one deals with man. So, well, we had a right attitude and behavior toward God. We had a right attitude and behavior toward man. And then the Bible says, and unblameably. And blamelessness in the Bible is not a matter of sinlessness, because we know that we're not going to live without sin, but it's a matter of living without reproach. That without nobody can lay hands on and say, boy, that one thing has discredited his ministry. No, because we lived holily in the sight of God and justly in our dealings with man, things like paying my bills and working hard and having a great spirit, not being an angry person, all those things, we were blameless. So holy, just, blameless, the Bible says, we behaved ourselves among you that believe. So any thoughts on that, Jeremy?
Wow. I mean, if you take just this one verse and reflect it upon your own life and just start to just consider, how am I ministering? How, if I charge my people that I serve with this same statement, would I be able to say such a thing as the Apostle Paul? Would I be able to say, you know what, the response that obviously Paul is going to receive from this is, you know, you're right, we saw that. We saw that in your life, you know, and the willingness to be so open and forward. It really is it's a bit of a sobering thought.
Insert your family in that. Could you write a letter to your wife and kids and say, now you know how holy and just and unblameable I've lived? That's quite a statement. It's a statement of not cockiness. It's a statement of confidence in what God was effecting in his life. It's a wonderful testimony. Verse 11, as you know, how we exhort. So he goes on to explain, what did that holy, just, unblameable behavior look like? So he gives us here in verse 11 a little bit of a description where he says, as you know, so again, they're witnesses, so they know, as you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, and I think you referenced this a couple conversations ago, Jeremy, even as a father doth his children. So we already looked at how Paul behaved like a nursing mother. Mm. Now he says, hey, our instruction of you, and you know this, you know our behavior, was as a father would instruct as children.
Cherish and charge. I love it. Cherish as a mother, but also charge as a father. And I don't know what your family relationship looks like, but this would reflect a bit of what happens in my home where the mother cherishes. She's holding the baby. She's, you know, the baby's hurt herself. She's carrying her. And I, as a father, sometimes will have to step in and say, wait a second. You're not crying right now. You're crying because you want your way. You want to be picked up. Well, no. You need to stop that right now. And it's those, you know, the Apostle Paul saying, hey, I was a mother, but I was a father to you as well. And that's a really hard thing to do in ministry, to know when is a time to cherish and when is a time to charge.
And even to break down those words further, because I love that thought. It really takes wisdom to be a dad. It takes wisdom to be a spiritual leader in the sense that the Apostle Paul is describing. And I love the words he uses. He said, we exhorted. So there's a call to action through a positive exhortation. Then there's a comforting, a calling to one side. And there's encouragement there as well. But then the Bible says, and charge. So a call to action, a holding to account. So you think about, as a dad, we have that trifold responsibility, not just to dictate, not just to be the drill sergeant, and then not just to be the cheerleader, but to be all of those things. And finding, understanding our kids, understanding when the word of encouragement coming alongside, the arm around the shoulder, understanding when the pointing the finger or the sternness, understanding that. But in all of it, the relationship, I'm your dad, and I love you, and I have your best interest in mind. Again, this is not a transaction. This is a relationship, like a mother, like a father. Boy, there's just so much here, isn't there?
Yeah, there certainly is, especially when reflecting about parents. Some of the cultures that we work in, children are not necessarily a gift, but they're an asset. If you have sons, they're going to be able to build, they're going to be able to do farming. If you have daughters, you're going to be able to sell them to another village to gain land and different things. But understanding the true concept of a father and mother who genuinely, as our Heavenly Father, just cares for us, doesn't want to see us hurt ourselves, wants to see us succeed, wants to see us grow, wants to see us overcome, you know, from crawling to walking, to being involved in a sports team, to leaving home. I mean, there's a lot to unpackage here as Paul gives us this concept to reflect on as we deal with people.
So as we think about then that comforting and that exhorting and that charging, what is the big rock teaching of a pastor, of a small group leader, of a dad, of a mom? Now, I know the way by which we do it. Sometimes we exhort, sometimes we comfort, sometimes we charge, we cherish, all the things we've mentioned. But then what is it that we are exhorting them to do? What is the big rock area we're charging them to obey? Well, the Bible tells us. The very next verse serves as the very essence of our teaching with our children or anybody that would follow us. It says in verse 12 that, so I exhort, I comfort, I charge that ye, you children, you followers, would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. So at the end of the day, the Apostle Paul said, we're not trying to get followers of us. We're not trying to make ourselves look good. We're not trying to build the biggest church in town. We're not trying to build an empire. We're not trying to make you walk worthy of our expectations. No, we know that we are simply stewards. We want you to walk worthy of God because you're going to ultimately represent him. You're part of his kingdom and his glory, his reputation. You reflect him. So we are stewards whose job it is to help you to walk worthy of God.
Well, it's so much, it's a much more higher calling than what we make it sometimes. Walking worthy. I mean, I was just thinking as you were saying that statement, that's something that needs to be almost plastered on the back wall of the church as you're preaching. This is so that you would walk worthy of God, not be a better member in my church, not reach more people to come into the church. these will become part of it, but it's because we need to be walking worthy of God. That's the most important element.
Yeah, and to keep that at the forefront of our minds, that any human relationship that we enjoy is seasonal. The eternal relationship is the relationship people have with the Lord. So God has inserted me in any person's life for a season. Sometimes it's a short season. Sometimes it's a long season. My wife and I have been married for 31 years. I thank the Lord for that season. And I pray that that season continues for many years to come. But the bottom line is, my relationship with anybody should service a greater opportunity for them to know God and to walk worthy of that ultimate relationship with Him.
It can really, it's a game changer.
It's a game changer. Yeah. Look at verse, just in the short time we have remaining, verse 13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So now there's a subtle shift. We might have to come back to this next episode, but let's see if we can talk a little bit about it right now, Jeremy. And the shift here is Paul has been talking about, hey, here was our attitude. You know, our message, our motivation, our methodology. We weren't trying to get praise from men. We weren't in this for financial motivation. We weren't trying to be popular. We were actually acting like a cherishing, nursing mother. We were acting like a loving, charging father. Our goal was to help you walk worthy of God. This is all about how God worked in our lives to help you. But then we see the subtle shift in verse 13, where the Apostle Paul now begins to talk about, and here was your response to that. Here was your response. Because at the end of the day, we can do everything right in that sense, and yet people have a free will. Mm-hmm. People can choose to respond as they will. So the Apostle Paul said, I am so grateful. And matter of fact, I'm grateful every day for this without ceasing. Every day I'm grateful. And he was grateful that they received the word that Paul preached, not as the word of men, but they received it for what it was, the word of God. So there's really two implications there. Their implication number one is that means Paul preached the word of God.
Yeah.
So to receive the word of God, the word of God has to be preached. So what was the sum total of Paul's message? He preached the Bible. Mm. And how often in our churches do people receive the message as the word of men because it is the word of men? It was just somebody's story or somebody's own
enticing
philosophy.
Enticing
words. Yeah. Mm. So the Apostle Paul said, I am so grateful that we were committed to preaching the Bible and you were committed to receiving the word of God for what it was in its essence, the word of God.
And I love it that it's a twofold. It's the message we shared, but it's also how we received it. And how often can we receive a message and just think, oh, well, that was Pastor Skelly. And instead of actually receiving, when we hear the word of God, receive it as the word of God and realize that although the messenger is the one who's sharing it, it was God that spoke those things to you. It was God that made that change in your life. It wasn't necessarily the person. That was not the most important element. It was the fact that it was the word of God that was being given to you, which is what created the transformation.
What germinates in the hearts of men and women, what germinates in your heart and mine, my friend, is the word of God. Remember, Jesus said, your heart is like soil, and it can be hard. It can be distracted by the cares of this world, thorny. It can be encumbered by stones, the tribulations of this world distract us, or it can be ready to receive. And my thought today would be ready to receive God's word. Even today on this podcast, as we've shared three or four verses, ask the Lord to help you to inculcate those verses into your life. Lord, these are your eternal words. I want them to take root in my life. I don't want to just be a hearer of the word. I want to be a doer. Help me by your Holy Spirit's discernment and power to be able to be more like Christ today because of the ministry of the word of God in my life. God bless you, my friends. Thanks for joining us again today.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If everyday truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.